Hi, I'm Ethan. Hi, everyone. So this morning I'm going to be sharing about some of my experience with Psalm 136. We're in Book 5, which is Psalms 107 through 150. It's the last one in the of the books in the Psalms. So this one gets categorized, read a little bit of context on it, that it's kind of like a mercy psalm or a hallelujah psalm. Once we read it, you'll see it's pretty clearly something that they would use maybe in like a liturgy or something when you're trying to, and a lot of it is about praising God for what he's done as being God and what he's done in the past. So if we, actually let's read it first. So I'll just read this. There's a reoccurring refrain on every single verse, as y'all can see. But it goes through different aspects of God, some of the story of God's people, and you, this refrain of, "For his steadfast love endures forever," essentially rounds out every verse of this psalm. And so when I first read this years ago, I would read through the psalms, and this one never really stood out to me. It's kind of like, oh gosh, it's the psalm that we're just repeating this refrain. It's about a story. There's not much really I relate with it. But it really opened up a lot when I was getting through reading it earlier this year, and it kind of clicked, and I saw what I'm basically going to share with y'all today. So Psalm 136, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever, and killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever, and Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever, and gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever, a heritage to Israel his servant, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever." So the way I got to dig into this is I was reading through it, and the different sections that I found have six. So verses 1 through 3 I labeled as some of the attributes of God. So this is just talking about some of who of God is. He's good. He's God of gods, Lord of lords. And then the next 4 through 9, it talks about creation, and it talks about the way that it describes God in creation is someone who is creative, someone who does powerful things, a lot of attributes there as well. And then the next section, 10 through 15, it talks about coming out of Egypt and overthrowing Pharaoh, and I labeled this one as the deliverance section. So if we look throughout Scripture, one of the common refrains that you'll hear is, "Remember the God who brought you out of Egypt." So this section here, I think, is very much a homage to that advice that's heeded throughout Scripture. And then the next part, 16 through 20, it talks about their time in the wilderness and then the kings that they faced and defeated. And so I labeled this section protection and victory. And then the next 4, 21 through 24, where it talks about giving us a heritage, giving us land that was our heritage, remembering us in our lowest state and rescuing us from our foes. I'll label that one as the promises that God has kept. And then the last two, where he provides provision, giving food to all flesh. And then we give thanks to him in light of all of this. I see that as our present reality, we're provided for and we ought to give thanks. And so one of the really beautiful things about this psalm is that it really kind of covers most of redemptive history. You have God, creation, you have the deliverance from the enemies that God, he essentially struck down a lot of people along the way, but he delivered us from the enemies, protected us, even in the times where it seems like we're being refined, there was still protection and we ultimately get victory. And then once again, a record of promises kept over that time. And then we have our present reality, which is pretty much just this is how you're supposed to live a Christian life. Let God or follow God. He'll provide for you and you give thanks to him. It's pretty simple. But there's this refrain in here, for a steadfast love endures forever. And I normally read NASB because I like it being as exact as possible, regardless of readability. And so it says, loving kindness is everlasting. And so there's some similar words used first in Lamentations 3:22, which is the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And so that one basically captures the same idea of you have this love that never ceases, the mercies and bottomless bucket that you can pull from. So that talks about a lot of the depth of the love. And then also the word steadfast is used in Psalm 51 verse 1, the psalm after David is confessing to God about his adultery and murder in the Bathsheba situation. So it says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. So you have this grievous sin that is heralded as one of the biggest sins in the Bible that a lot of people see as just like so many facets, it goes everywhere, it's created damage. And yet what David can confidently do is appeal to God's steadfast love for that forgiveness, and he does get it. So I think we're that little refrain of his steadfast love endures forever is a powerful thing to remember. And so you have this essentially in this psalm, a big story of redemptive history, and then the main theme that keeps reoccurring is this idea that it's all based on the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. And so in light of that, there's some key points that I had used in my time with it, which is I just remember like God is a covenantal God. He's faithful to that covenant that he made to we are his people. And I often need to remember the seasons that God brought me out of to keep me going in the seasons that come. And very much, I find that to end it with giving thanks, that's just something that really needs to be focused on is what's our responsibility with this? Well, it's to see God for who he is and then give thanks. It's very much helped my own personal prayer life in that in the Acts format, you have adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then supplication. Everyone's good at supplication. Confession, something that I've gotten much better at over the years, but then and thankfulness has generally been pretty good. But then adoration was always kind of like, I'm just chucking up praise to God, and it feels kind of like, I don't know what to do with this in prayer. Like, I know to do it because it's in a lot of the prayers, but it was just never something that really connected with me. And one of the great things that really awakened when I read this earlier, kind of early in the year, was it reminded me that talking about those attributes should bring forth like a bigger love of God. You see how powerful he is, the beauty of God, and it should make all the other ones essentially flow out from that. Confession becomes a more secure place when you know the attributes of God. Thankfulness becomes real gratitude when you understand who you're thanking. Supplication becomes powerful when you understand who you're asking these things of and what he has done in the past to show, hey, I can do what I said I will do. And so, one of the best parts is this one. It kind of covers every season. So like I've had seasons where I pray it joyfully because, like, yeah, I'm out of this crazy season. Things are going really well. I have a lot to be thankful for. And then I've had tough seasons where, like, about 2 years ago, all the older engineers than me left, and I got handed responsibility, and I was having a crisis about responsibility and was I confident enough for what I'm doing. And a psalm like this would have been really handy to remind me that, you know, previous things that I had gone through are a really good way for me to remember that this season's gonna be taken care of, and, you know, I'm on the other side of it now, and I can say confidently it's another season I can look back at and say, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt is true. And so, and it basically trains me when I read this story over and over again to just build my trust in God with that. If you keep reading about what God's done, it ultimately continues to build the trust that that guides our whole walk. So, when you're praying this, you can kind of divvy it up into little sections because it is a very lengthy psalm. But I would just say, if you're, for the time that we're going to be doing prayer, maybe pick one that stands out to you, maybe the season you're in, maybe what you need to, what you feel a need to pray over, and just, stick with that piece of the story. But I would just encourage you to focus on that refrain, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever, and then see where the prayer takes you from that. Yeah, 1 through 3 will be the attributes of God. 4 through 9, it's talking about creation. 10 through 15 is about deliverance. 16 through 20 is protection and victory. 21 through 24 is promises being kept. And then 25 and 26 are our present reality.